Let us pray. O God, having heard your word with attention, we pray that you now give us understanding, and so write it on our hearts, that its power may be visible in our lives, all for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With a fair number of years to my age, I confess that I have never known a time in my life when there seems to be so much fear around in our country and the world in general. Some of the more common fears are fear of crime and all the trauma as well as injuries and death so often accompanying such criminal activity. Fear of the future ability of our state to ensure the basic services of electricity, water, and municipal services. Fear of the continued corruption in so many state enterprises. And if you're acquainted with financial matters, the recent occurrence of what the economists call the inversion yield curve, which has always pointed to a world on the brink of recession. Fear of what is going to happen in the current political situations in the world where so many populist leaders have been elected. And in the past few days, we have seen and fear the riotous happenings in many of our towns and cities, often in the name of xenophobia. And of course, we mustn't overlook the violence that has been happening to so many of the women in this country. In summary, it seems that many people, perhaps now more than ever before, have so many fears about what they cannot control. In 2015, there was a great film called Bridge of Spies that starred Tom Hanks as a lawyer who had to defend a captured Russian spy. On a few occasions, the lawyer asked the spy if he is worried, and Russia's response each time was, "Will it help?" And then it's probably good advice for each of us who are worrying or fearful about problems that we cannot control. In Christian terms, fear is commonly regarded as a response to sheer evil. Sadly, a truism of life is that love is what we are born with, but fear is what we learn. However, in our meditation this morning, I'm going to suggest that another truism of a Christian life is that there are fears, and there are fears. In contrast to all the gloomy and stressful situations in the opening of this meditation, I suggest that for us as Christians, we should be optimistic, as not all fears are irrational, obsessive, and neurotic. In fact, my aim is at the end of this morning's reflection, we will find that some fears can be positive, even though the result of genuine dangers. I say this because a careful reading of the Bible will show encouragements to master the type of fear that cripples, that paralyzes, and with these urgings, we find directions as to how that sort of fear may be mastered. Chief among them being the repeated counsel of Jesus: have faith in God. And in this meditation I put to you, we have this gem of biblical inspiration by King Solomon in our reading from Ecclesiastes, when he sums up the whole wisdom book by saying, "The last and final word is this: fear God. Fear God. Do what he tells you to." In the book of Ecclesiastes, what Solomon was stressing, and in fact all the way through the Bible, we find another type of fear that is spoken of and urged on us in meeting life's challenges. Fear God. This fear is neither irrational nor neurotic, but instinctive and wholesome. It is not destructive, but constructive. For example, we have these biblical commands: stand in awe and sin not. Here's another. You have no reason for pride, but rather for fear of God. And the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of humankind. You see, sadly, so much in our lives stresses about fear as an evil and a cause for anxiety. In contrast, our Christian calling, what we are commanded, is to fear the Lord. And when we have that fear of God as our mantra in life, because of the assurance of belonging to God, we have the ability of not letting the world's fears overwhelm us in our life's journey. But sadly, in the face of the world's fears, we too easily forget about the Christian antidote to such worry, which is the command to fear God. Wrongfully, the emphasis of Christian living is given to thinking only about receiving God's forgiveness or imagining all the good things we want God to do for us and looking for God's comfort and guidance. If you are honest with ourselves, how often do we really think, I really need to fear the Lord? A fear of the Lord comes from an understanding and belief that he is above all. Above all the fears and the worries that we see in the world, the kind of relationship implied in fearing the Lord requires more than just understanding that he just exists. God is more than just a presence. God is supreme. He is omnipresent. And he is above all things. And our supreme, omnipresent, and all-pervasive God requires a very different response to just an understanding of existence. The prophet Isaiah emphasized, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. We fear the Lord when we recognize that he is holy. He is set apart from all creation in purity and perfection. In John's revelation, we are told, who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. Fearing God, you bring glory to his name. And if we see God rather just as merely a buddy, friend, a chum, who is just there to forgive our sins when we make them, forget and overlook that God is eternal and holy and omnipresent, then we will relate to him just as we do to any other human being in our lives. But if we know that God is eternal, almighty, and omnipresent above all the worries and concerns of the world, then we will be well positioned to fear him. And that correct fear of God emphasizes its useful and its valuable function for our daily living. Just thinking, the inventions, the discoveries that have enriched civilization time and time again have been byproducts of a human fear of the Almighty God. Fear of ignorance makes for knowledge. Fear of tyranny prompts the struggle for liberty. Fear of the consequences keeps countless men and women from wrongdoing, from immoral behavior outlined in the Ten Commandments. And so long as that normal, wholesome fear of God is alive in each one of us, there is little likelihood we will become prey to another kind of fear, the fear of detection, the fear of being found out, the fear of the world's problems, which give rise to a life that is negatively, obsessively, and self-destructive. Again, in considering our Bible reading today, our Christian response to these worries, which we cannot control, and as the Russian spy in the film implied, that will not help, is rather the fear of the Lord. In fact, as Solomon guided us in our Bible reading today, that is the only fear that we have to take into account. And this becomes even more significant in the world today. So much present thinking in ignores the severe element in the teaching of the Bible, which is to keep God's commandments, and rather conceives of God as a kindly, indulgent, amiable, good-natured being who will see to it that everything comes out all right for everybody in the end, irrespective of considerations of character and conduct. You see, we need to be reminded of the solemn imperatives that sound and resound in the Bible. Stand in awe and fear not. You have reason not for pride, but for fear. Fear God and keep his commandments. And the very words of Jesus, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So what do we take from this meditation this morning? Is that we need to learn the fear of the Lord as our benchmark in our daily living. And then we should take from the book of Proverbs as our clarion call and response to the current worries and fears. These words, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Accordingly, Solomon in Ecclesiastes shows us that we should enjoy life, but this does not exempt us from obeying the Lord's commandments. We should search for the purpose and meaning of life, but that cannot only be found in human endeavors. We should acknowledge the evils and the foolishness and the injustices in life. Yet at all times, we are to maintain a strong and positive Christian faith in God, who promises us, each one of us, mercy, care, and his presence in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you are a good Father. Your love and care for us is endless. You care more about our well-being than even we do, no matter how much we worry over it. And we are in awe as we recognize that you are all-powerful, able to protect each one of us completely and fully from anything that might arise. Lord, we so often forget these truths. We are prone to believe that we are alone and without any protection. Lord, we know that this is an untruth and only results into worry and wrong fear. So we repent of that worry and fear right here and now, praying that in understanding your almightiness, we will from now on trust in your goodness and mercy towards us, knowing that you're always close, always protecting us, and always watching over every step of our lives. And Father, we ask that you help us to grow in our Christianity, in an awareness of the gifts that you place in our lives. Especially we pray this morning for the gift of time which you've given us. Help us to appreciate fully and use this gift of time by your loving care for our lives. Teach us once more to follow the example of your Son, to be worthy on the day of resurrection, to be called one of his people, a Christian. And Father, we think at this time of those near and dear to us who are ill or who are in despair or in deep distress. Especially we pray for the needs of our brothers and sisters, which are mentioned in the bulletin, in this corner of the vineyard we call St. Thomas United Church. We pray for those we number as family and friends who have many different kinds of physical needs and financial needs, and there are those with emotional needs. We pray for our communities in which we live. We pray for our state president and those officials in national, provincial government and other leadership positions. Give them wisdom and the ability to lead justly and wisely. Above all, we pray for a revival of godliness and righteousness and holiness in our country. We pray for your word as it is preached around the world this very day, and for those of our fellow Christians in countries that don't enjoy the freedom that we have. And more so, Lord, we pray for Reverend Heidi, our pastor, and her family. We thank you for her safe return from Zimbabwe. We ask that you continue to bless her ministry in St. Barnabas United Church as it prospers in being a light in a dark world. May our brothers and sisters, the members of our congregation, be worthy of following in the footsteps of Barnabas and being encouragers of the Christian faith. Lord, we now return to the secular world. Bless us, protect us from all evil in the world, which we may encounter as we proceed on our life's journey towards everlasting life. Help us to live each day as Jesus did, turning hatred to love and conflict to peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.